I'm Mark Purcell, and this is Cincinnati Edition. Joel Luckhoft is in the front row with Betsy Ross this morning to talk about his new book, 100 Things Reds Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die.
With the optimism surrounding this year's edition of the Cincinnati Reds, and let's face it, fans are expecting just a little bit more than what we got out of the team last year. There's a new book out for Cincinnati Reds fans, 100 Things Reds Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. The author of the book is someone who has written a book before about the Reds, Joel Luckhoft. Joel is the author of co-author of The Wire to Wire Reds, which talks about the 1990 World Championship season. Joel, thanks so much for being back with us in the front row.
Well, thank you for having me on, Betsy.
All right, 100 Things Reds Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. You talk a lot about, kind of the obvious things. You talk about going to the Reds Hall of Fame and things like that. And you talk about some of the maybe unseemly, can we say, chapters in Reds history. Of course, the Black Sox scandal and things like that. Was there anything that really surprised you or jumped out at you when you were doing the research for this book?
Well, the number one thing I learned the most about was the pre-Big Red Machine history. I was born in the 70s, so, you know, I didn't grow up with a lot of that stuff. So learning about some of the older players, guys that played during the 60s, Jim Maloney, Veta Pinson, and even back a little bit farther than that, you know, like Bucky Walters, Paul Derringer, Heinie Groh, those kind of guys, their stories were a little surprising to me because I just didn't get a chance to learn about them prior to really researching this book. And, you know, the Reds have had some great players over the years that I don't think have gotten enough publicity, so hopefully, you know, through this book, they'll get their stories will get known a little better.
Yeah, that's a very good point. You know, going from a Johnny Vandermeer to an Ed Rausch to even someone in the nearer history like a Ted Klazuski that some people may remember. There were a lot of great players before we hit the Big Red Machine era, and the same thing. You know, so many of us grew up in that era, and I think that we were so spoiled with seeing a bench or Rosa Perez. We didn't realize maybe that we were seeing one of the iconic teams that we may never see again in baseball.
Right. And it's unfortunate that today's teams constantly get compared back to that team because mm-hmm. that team really, for one, it was just kind of perfect timing. You know, during the 70s, there were a lot of dynastic teams, and part of that was because free agency really hadn't taken hold yet. Teams could more easily acquire players more cheaply, and they could hold on to them. They didn't have to worry about dealing with free agency until the 80s when money really started to boom. And so it'll be pretty rare anymore. I think it'll happen every once in a while, but it'll be pretty rare that you're going to have teams that are going to be these super teams like the Big Red Machine mm-hmm. was. But really, that was just kind of, I mean, I don't want to take anything away from what Bob Houseman built, but it was kind of a lucky event for them. It wasn't something that was, that, you know, teams could definitely not plan on kind of building that team now.
So let's jump right into the book. You start with the Big Red Machine, go to Joe Nuxhall, still a beloved player in this area, opening day, which is so unique to Cincinnati and the celebration here. And then Pete Rose, and you do the good, the bad, and the ugly with Pete Rose. You talk about Pete, you jump to 41-92. You talk, of course, later on in the book about his being banned from baseball. Because you're talking about 100 things, the chapters are short. It's a nice, easy read, but it's really hard to get in depth. And I suppose that's why you divided it into different chapters, really the story of Pete Rose, because there were so many chapters in the story and the history of Pete with this team.
Right, exactly. You know, with Pete, you have to take the good with the bad. And, you know, I could have glossed over things like the gambling or events like that. But I felt like to really understand what Reds fans have gone through over the years, you have to have that whole arc of Pete Rose. You know, the young hometown hero who left and came back and broke the record and then, you know, had such a dark period there with the banishment. It says a lot to me about being a Reds fan that you've experienced that. And, you know, for some people, it's a lot of hurt that's still there, obviously. So You know, not everything about being a fan is brightly colored, I guess.
Well, that's very true. We are talking with Joel Luckhop. He is the author of 100 Things Reds Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. I love the mention here about Crosley Field. I'm one of these Crosley Field nuts. I collect any kind of photo or postcard or anything that has to do with Crosley Field, because I think that is, if they were able to have kept Crosley Field up and renovate it, I think it would still be there, because that's the kind of ballpark now that they're building, kind of the retro. And I remember spending one Saturday afternoon trying to find the remnants of Crosley Field, and you mentioned it. There is a plaque. If you go over there on the west side of town, you have to search a little bit, but you can find where Crosley Field was.
Right, Crosley Field, and actually, I mean, that corner of Finley and Western where it sat for so many years, mm-hmm. Is important, a very important part in Reds history. I mean, starting in 1884 was the first time they built a park in that location, and the Reds stayed there all the way up until they moved to Riverfront Stadium in 1970. You really need to appreciate what that means within Reds history, and it's unfortunate now that kind of that area now doesn't look anything like it used to back then. Because of, you know, what the interstate highway there now and all that you lose some of that luster of what it meant for, you know, people growing up in the 30s and 40s and 50s about being a Reds fan.
That's true. Ken Griffey Jr. is also in this book. And you talk about Pete Rose being the hometown hero. Ken Griffey Jr., I think when he came back to Cincinnati, there was a buzz, there was excitement about having another hometown kid come back and play for the hometown team. And you talk about a Greek tragedy, how this was, it just was not to be. And while his father may be in the Reds Hall of Fame someday, is in the Reds Hall of Fame, the son may not be. And, you know, the son probably will make it to Cooperstown, but not necessarily be in the Reds Hall of Fame.
Right. That's, you know, he's an interesting case because his name is bigger than what he did in Cincinnati. And some of that, is, you know, has nothing to do with him. I mean, or I should say has nothing to do with his abilities. It was the injuries. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, one after another. And it was such an unfortunate thing. I think Reds fans probably don't have as positive of a view of Ken Griffey as maybe the outside of Cincinnati has because of all those injuries. We feel a little bit like we were robbed of that opportunity, of that hope that we saw the day he was traded to the Reds. I mean, I remember that day. I went out and bought tickets immediately that day because I knew, man, this is a great event. It was going to be something huge. And, you know, a year later, things started getting darker, and then it just kind of steamrolled from there.
Yeah, exactly. Dusty Baker wrote the foreword for your book. As I mentioned, you know, a hope is pretty high. Expectations are pretty high this season for the Reds after, you know, let's face it, winning the division and then flopping in the postseason. People are expecting a little bit more. Kind of take a look at this team the way it's built now. Now there's finally a leadoff hitter that I think already has given some excitement to this team. Take a look at this team, and what do you expect the Reds to do this year?
Well, I always set my expectations at the playoffs. Once you get to the playoffs, it's hard to say what will happen after that. I think they're in good shape for the playoffs. They've got Cueto and Latos. As long as both of them stay healthy, they'll be in good shape. If we had Cueto last year through the playoffs, things may have been completely different. You know, it's hard to say what would have happened in those cases, but, you know, if you don't have Latos having to pitch an excellent relief in game one, then if everything ran on the normal cycle, the Reds may have been in much better shape, you know, come game three, four, and five. But anyway, so I think they're poised, they're built to make it into the playoffs. After that, anything can happen. And I think Reds fans are right to expect the playoffs this year. I think this is probably the most complete team we've had since the mid-90s. There's not a lot of holes. You can see even with Ryan Ludwig going down, we've already, you know, seen a little bit of production from Chris Heisey and Xavier Paul and all of those guys. And I think we'll be all right. I think, you know, they're safe. The bullpen's deep. You know, so I think there's a good reason to have high expectations this year.
Well, and how many times do you have a pitching staff like they did last year that didn't miss a start? They went right through.
Right, but, you know, we also, I wouldn't expect that to happen this year, but we also have Tony Cingrani, who is tearing it up already down in Louisville. You know, so I think that there's enough depth there. It would have been nice if Aroldis Chapman had worked out the pitch in the rotation, because it would have given them an opportunity possibly to have another ace in their lineup or in their rotation. But having him in the back of the bullpen, you know, it's not a bad problem to have.
Not at all. The book is 100 Things Reds Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. The author is Joel Luckhop. Joel, thanks for being with us on the Front Row.
Thank you so much, Betsy.